upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All right, what's going on, Winning Shot family? It's your boy, Colin, and I am with John. We are just strictly talking about the NFL offseason. There have been a lot of eventful moves that have already happened. We are post-draft into OTAs and minicamp as we prepare for this next season. John, how you feeling?
Man, I tell you what, like you said, bro, there's been a lot going on. Let me start here. J.K. Dobbins just signed with the Denver Broncos. We just talked about this. Yeah. This man just told the media, sit up here, flat out lied. But he flat out lied. J.K. Dobbins, if you listen to this right now, you flat out lied to the media. Oh, my gosh. But he said, yeah, I got tired of losing the playoffs. I want to win the Super Bowl in Denver. But he really sat up in Denver, Colorado, and said, I want to win the Super Bowl. Now, yeah. I get it. Like, you know, everybody has that drive. But we got to look in the mirror and be realistic with ourselves. Brother, yeah. You're in Denver in the AFC West, first of all, and then the AFC Conference overall. Denver is not – read my lips right now. Let me look dead in the camera. I say this. The Denver Broncos will not be winning the Super Bowl this year, and you only signed a one-year contract. Good luck with your playoff exit, buddy. Good luck with your playoff exit. Yeah. Yeah, that's how we start the podcast today, because we got to start telling the truth. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start there. So the AFC West, are they the hardest division of football?
Bro, I was thinking about this the other day, actually. And football is tough because, yes, they have the Chiefs. The Chargers are there. You got Denver, but they also got Vegas. But Vegas got a little bit better. They did draft Genty. They got Geno Smith at quarterback now. They still got Brock, and I feel like they got a wide receiver. I don't remember who it is, but I feel like they got somebody there too. But defensively, they still got Crazy Man, you know, Max. Max is still out there. They signed Christian Wilkins last year, so that defensive front is tough. Pretty sure they signed a safety in the free agency period, if I'm not mistaken, as well. So it's a good division. Don't get me wrong; it's a very good division. It's the best of football. I mean, you still got the NFC East with Philly and Washington and Dallas and New York. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, like, then, listen, people not want to hear this, but the AFC North is still there. Yeah. Their Aaron Rodgers signing, it didn't put them over the team as a needle. It didn't push the needle for them as a team, but as a division, the needle has been now pushed. So we are back in contention as one of the best divisions in football still. Yeah. So I think that competitiveness-wise, I think they're definitely top three divisions that AFC West is. But the best in football, me personally, is going to be between the NFC East and the AFC North. I just can't – the rivalries that have been there from the beginning between all eight of those teams and those four two divisions, I mean, I think they outweigh what we see in the AFC West, personally. What do you say, man? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying with the NFC East. Like, there are a lot of historic rivalries. I think just at the bottom, I don't know what I'm getting. Like, with the Cowboys and the Giants, you have Schottenheimer coming in with Dallas. You have everybody on the hot seat with the Giants, right? You have Daboll and Joe Shane as the GM, both of them on the hot seat this year. So I can see them taking a slight jump up, but I think the NFC East is just so top-heavy. With AFC West, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs were dominated for the last 5 years, right? But it seems like with everybody getting paid and just how they approach the Super Bowl, I think they're coming back to normal, right? A lot of those one-score games, I think it's because of the better coaching in the AFC West, it's just going to be a lot of dogfighting, right, throughout the season. There is going to be a lot of losses with all the teams. So I think just from a competitive standpoint, I think the AFC West is the toughest.
I can see it.
Yeah. So, okay, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers, right? So you talked about AFC North.
Yeah.
And this week, well, 2 weeks ago, we saw that Aaron Rodgers ended this offseason show with, like, where is he going to sign? People talked about him going to the Rams. People talked about him going to the Vikings. Yeah. And people talked about him retiring. Ultimately, he ended up in, you know, with the Steelers. The Steelers were busy themselves. You know, they traded away George Pickens, went and signed DK. So it seems like it's be the Aaron Rodgers and DK show. So I guess, like, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. What is the realistic expectation for the Steelers? Because you're familiar with the AFC North, and how do you feel about China?
Yeah, so I mean, for me personally, bro, I had a feeling A-Rod was going to end up in Pittsburgh, especially after, you know, the draft when the Vikings never kind of – they pretty much said, hey, we're going to stick with JJ. After that, I mean, his only choice was to go to Pittsburgh or retire. Like, that was literally it, because New York obviously didn't want him back. so – I think that Pittsburgh needed a quarterback, for one, because they would have to start the season with Will Howard or what's buddy's name? Mason Rudolph. Right. And that was going to lead to Mike Tomlin losing his job. So, Aaron Rodgers, I know he wasn't – not Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin were very happy to get that deal done, both of them, because Aaron gets another year of some money. They got, like, 1 year, $13 million, up to $19 million with incentives. And then, you know, Mike gets to keep a job for another year. Because, like I said, if he had started the season with Mason – or Will, it would have been a long and last season in Pittsburgh. Because those fans, man, they're diehard fans. But they're also fans that they know that they can win, right? Because Pittsburgh, with Mike there, has always just had the opportunity to win. And so I think with Aaron Rodgers, it gives them the best chance to win. However, they're still not winning the division this year. Baltimore's going to win that division. I think it's going to be a runaway. I think that, I mean, you still worry about Cincinnati offensively, but Pittsburgh defensively is always stacked up. Even in this last draft, they went ahead and got two or three more guys in the first couple of rounds. Didn't even address the offense, right? I don't think they got a quarterback in Will to like the fifth round, maybe sixth round. So, I mean, offensively, they necessarily didn't put that much time in. Now, they did trade for DK, but then they wound up trading away George Pickens, like you just mentioned a minute ago. And so it's really going to be interesting to see, to me, in the AFC North, kind of what the identity is. With Aaron Rodgers, you would think it's going to be a pass-first offensive team now versus a run-heavy team. Of course, once again, Najee Harris is in L.A. now, so he's gone at running back. And so it's like, okay, who replaces that production that he has out there with them? And so I think that into the division-wise, they can now fight for second place with Cincinnati. But it's also going to be dependent on what happens in Cleveland, because as much as the Cleveland Browns suck, if Shador gets an opportunity to come up on that depth chart, then they can make something shake with Shador as the starting quarterback. I think they'll probably wind up starting off with Joe Flacco, as they should. I know they have Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel. But I think that I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to transpire. But I think that they got some more young guys. They drafted Judkins out of Ohio State, running back, to replace what the production that Chubb had given them. They went ahead and the receiver core-wise, they still got Judy out there. They still got Njoku out there. They still had a couple other guys sprinkled in. And even defensively-wise, of course, again, you just paid a huge contract to Myles Garrett, drafted Mason Graham with the fifth overall pick. It was Mason Graham. They went ahead and got I'm missing somebody. Was it Mason Graham?
Okay. They got Dylan in the third round. I don't know who they got.
That's true. They did get Dylan third. Like Jenkins. They must have got Jenkins in the second there.
Yeah, you're right.
I think that, like I said, depending on kind of how that plays out, it can be three-way between those three teams in Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Cleveland to see who can really come up. Now, I'm going to give the nod to Cincinnati just because, I mean, Joe Burrow, T, and Jamar, I mean, they put up crazy numbers, but the defense sucks. And as you see right now, they go through a crazy controversy with Shamar Stewart. Not want to pay him his money. Trey Henderson, who's pretty much been top in the league in sacks for the past two seasons, not trying to pay him a new extension. So that's going to be very interesting to see what happens in Cincinnati. So I don't have to say this.
What's a successful season for Aaron Rodgers?
That's what I was going to say. I said I don't have to say this. I think successfully for him, if he can come in, lead Pittsburgh to the playoffs, and come in second in the division, that's successful for them. That's successful for them. He comes in that first year, gets things together, comes second in the division, puts him in a playoff wild card berth, That's successful for them.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So Pittsburgh made the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And they got blown out, right? Yeah. The first game.
Yeah.
If they get, if the same thing happens, they get blown out this season, is Mike Tomlin the head coach of the Steelers next season?
Yes. I'm going to say yes, and I'll tell you why. I believe that, once again, the fans may be growing restless. They may want to win. But, I mean, it's what he's been doing for the past – they haven't won a playoff game in, what, almost 10 years?
Yeah.
And he's still there. He's still there. So, I mean, as long as they continue to be mediocre, I mean, clearly he's getting the job done. And I think what Mike's thing has always been, as long as we have a winning season, you know? Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. Mike has been a winner in his career. He's won multiple Super Bowls in Pittsburgh. But this team, this era of Pittsburgh just isn't the same. And I know the Pittsburgh Steelers fans are going to be on my head about this because I'm a Ravens fan, and they're going to say it's hate. And it partially is hate, for sure. But there's also partial truth to this as well. Like, you have to look at the Steelers in their totality and say, yes, they're always going to be defensive heavy, just like Baltimore is. Like, they focus on what they focus on. But the difference is, offensively-wise, we've taken leaps and bounds to make sure that – to ensure that our number eight and y'all number eight is two different number eights. Your number eight is 41 years old. Like, you're just not going to get that kind of production out of Aaron Rodgers. And so – once again, after this season, you're in another predicament of who's my quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think that's the main issue. It's like, you get Aaron Rodgers, and it's not guaranteed it's going to be healthy the whole season. And then last year, he was healthy the whole year and didn't have necessarily have the most productive season in New York. So, I don't know.
I honestly think, for that reason that you just outlined, that's why I think Mike Tomlin won't be the coach of the Steelers next season. Because if they go and lose like they did this year in the playoffs,
yeah,
I think it's not going to be Mike Tomlin getting fired. I think it's going to be a step down, because I think for T.J. Watt, like, you know, he's holding out a minicamp because, you know, he wants a new deal. Mm-hmm. And the question is, do you pay him top of the league, you know, non-quarterback money, yeah, and he's getting older, versus trading him, potentially getting picks and investing those pieces in the offense, right?
Yeah.
And I think, like you said with the Ravens, I think what y'all do so well is, while y'all still have veterans, y'all still have a litter of young talent, right? You have your Kyle Hamiltons, all, you know, you have people like that who can fill in because you draft well.
Right.
And I think the Pittsburgh Steelers, they've always drafted a wide receiver well. And that's why I was confused with the DK move. But I think for Mike, it's one of those things where it's like, and you know, the rant I had a couple months ago, but what are we doing? Like, we're not getting anywhere. I feel like Mike is a motivator. He's a team builder. And I think he's going to get a job instantly, you know,
for sure.
Steelers. But I think for the Steelers, they have to understand that this is a new chapter. And like you said, Aaron's not going to come back, because I think at 41, there's only so much you can do. And I think Tom Brady had a perfect situation in Tampa Bay, and he doesn't have that with Pittsburgh Steelers. So I just feel like it needs to be a clean break for both parties.
Agreed. I can see that for sure. And like you said, I can agree with the fact that Mike could just say, I'm done with it too. Like you said, I mean, because I look at it like this, Cam Hayward is probably going to be his last year in Pittsburgh. He's getting up there in age. Him and Aaron Rodgers are almost the same age. I mean, like you said, T.J. Watt's holding out. Like, things could crumble quickly after this season. And so it's like, do I want to stay here through a rebuild? Because that's essentially what has to happen. Because once again, with them not choosing a quarterback this year, they're going to have to take a quarterback in the draft next year again. Like you said, with the defensive pieces being lost, DK is signed, but once again, he ain't going to sit through a rebuild. So, yeah, y'all paid him. He might sit there for another season, but after a while, he's going to be like, hey, either y'all pay me some more money, which is going to overall hurt them, or trade me again. So it's like, I don't know, man. Pittsburgh put themselves in an interesting position when they sat through the draft and only strengthened the defense. So
yeah, and like you said, you hope that Shador doesn't pop. Because if Shador pops, then if Aaron Rodgers retires or is not good, you're going to have the worst quarterback in the division for the foreseeable future, because all the quarterbacks in the division are young. So it's like, what are we fighting with? You know?
Nah, thanks.
So you mentioned the Browns. Let's go down to them. So this Shador news, there has been, you know, talk on YouTube, talk on, you know, the internet about how Shador has flourished in training camp.
Yeah.
They said he's currently beating out Dylan Gabriel in terms of that backup slot.
Yeah,
but we know that the Browns have four quarterbacks on their roster. They have Flacco, they have Pickett, they have Dylan Gabriel, and Shador Sanders. How do you think they're going to handle that? Are they going to cut the pick who wins out of Pickett and Flacco? Are they going to cut Gabriel? How are they going to keep it?
Yeah, somebody different losing their job. I don't see Cleveland going into the because you got to look at it like this. Deshaun Watson's still under contract with them. They haven't formally released Deshaun Watson yet.
Yeah,
they have
that's
five
true.
Quarterbacks on the roster right now. They're not going into the season with five quarterbacks on the roster right now. I know Deshaun's not playing this year. He's more than likely going to be on IR this year. They're not going into the season with four quarterbacks on the roster in Cleveland. I think they'll take this preseason, give each of them opportunity to show who can be the best, maybe three quarterbacks on the team. Or with the way that the new practice squad can go, right? You can have an elevation that way or put people under that way. So I think they're entering into the season with three quarterbacks on the roster. And then whoever's the fourth odd man out will just either find a new team if they get cut and or get signed to the practice squad. Yeah. I think that's going to be the case with them. Like I said, they have a lot of other places that they need assistance in. And so I don't think they're going to try to give four positions when you only got 53 of them to quarterbacks. So I think they want to keep in three, putting somebody on the practice squad. And the thing is, you got to choose somebody that you're with okay with being replaced. Because the thing with practice squad is they can get signed to an active roster at any point from any other NFL team. So it's like, okay, if I push Shador on practice squad, am I okay with losing him? If I put Dylan on practice squad, am I okay with losing him? So I think whoever they decide to not keep on the active roster, they have to be okay with letting go when the time does come for someone else may need them. But Cleveland, as an organization, man, just continues to show that I don't necessarily know what they're doing. But I will say this. They're looking a little bit better than Cincinnati is right now. And I know we'll get to them maybe in a little while. But Cleveland, I don't know, man. It's going to be very interesting to see. I'm not excited. I want to see how that training camp looks. I can't wait to see. You know, you can only do so much in T-shirts and shorts and helmets, right? So when the pads come on in July and it's hot, I want to see who really come outside and be a man. You know what I'm saying? It's really going to show me like, okay, is Dylan better than Shador? Did we make the right decision by drafting Shador? Is Shador who we think he is? Is Dylan who we think he is? Like, all that should be answered. And then once again, you get the opportunity throughout the preseason when you get competition versus other NFL teams, because I would argue that the preseason is almost as entertaining now as the regular season. And I only say that because he's got these young guys who are trying to prove themselves. And so they're going extra hard in front of these coaches trying to say, hey, I can make this roster. And so as much as people don't really watch that kind of stuff, I'm going to be watching it to see, because I know Shador's going to probably have to play a lot of those preseason games to prove his worth. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to be watching intently to say, okay, is he really doing, even though it's against threes and fours potentially, right? You got to ball out against them to show you that you're worth it. He's been doing it in right now, like I said, in minicamp, but show it when the pads come on.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like that first Cleveland preseason game is probably going to be the most viewed preseason game out of all of them. Because everybody's going to be curious. And so what I'm thinking is he can't go into this season being the number three quarterback because the stadium is going to be filled with Sanders jerseys. Everybody's going to be wondering, when is Shador coming in? And this is why the Browns are the Browns, because it's like, do you keep Gabriel? Because if you go straight with Shador, do you like move Dylan Gabriel to your number three? Or do you cut him? Because if you cut him, that means that you wasted the third round pick.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was kind of like when Cam Newton was with the Patriots, right? Cam Newton was a backup, but everybody was just waiting for him to become the starter. And, you know, that starting quarterback had to look over their shoulder every time they made a mistake, because it was like, if we're ever down in the game, they could easily bench me. And I just feel like that noise is why the Browns are so low class, because it's like, we are trying to get rid of this Deshaun Watson stain, this Deshaun Watson, you know, flop that the owner said. And now I've invited more drama, more news coverage, and it just doesn't make sense. And I think it takes away from the actual X's and O's on the team, because no matter how the Browns perform this season, every time they make a mistake, it's going to be like, is Shador coming in next week? And I think that just brings a lot of unnecessary chaos.
Not as facts. I agree with that wholeheartedly, bro. And I think another thing is that, and so you said, as soon as they start losing a game or as soon as something like bad happens, they'll be like, ooh, this could be Shador's time. And I think, like you said, even within the quarterback room, like I saw an article earlier, this Joe Flacco has doubled down. When he was in Baltimore, he made a statement when Lamar Jackson got drafted. He's not a mentor. He doesn't da 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 da. He redoubled down on that statement in Cleveland. They asked him about it again with Shador and Dylan coming. He said, I'm not a mentor, da da da. Well, then a couple of days ago, he proceeded to take a picture with Dylan Gabriel at like the team photo day or whatever the case was, right? And a couple of days earlier, a video had also surfaced of, you know, Shador talking to him and saying, hey, Joe, like, you know, da-da-da, just make a conversation. And Joe was kind of just like, eh, I don't really, da-da-da, like blowing them off. And so it's like, it's interesting because their quarter room also, you can kind of see also a little bit of divide. The players on the Cleveland Brown team, I've heard some comments from some of the defensive guys, and even some of the offensive guys who said Shador's really polished. You can tell his dad trained him up really well. So it seems like Shador is kind of getting a respect in the locker room versus some of the other quarterbacks. And so it's like, it's going to come to a head at some point. So like I said, this Cleveland offseason and the preseason, it's going to be really interesting. Training camp into preseason is going to be really interesting for them to see how cohesive they are as a unit and who can come out and get that spot. Because somebody's going to be without a job, for sure.
Do you ever see Deshaun Watson taking another snap as a starting quarterback in this league again?
The reason I say yes is because there's a lot of sorry teams that need a quarterback. And I think that I look at somebody like the Raiders. I don't think that Geno's going to be the long-term answer. They paid him for a couple years. He has a couple years maybe left in the tank, right? And so Deshaun may have to subject himself to a backup role and then come back and be a starter again. I look at somebody like the Broncos. We got to see if what's the young boy name out there right now?
Nix.
Is even the long time answer. If he's not, do the Broncos take a chance on Deshaun? You know what I'm saying? I feel like somebody's gonna have a opportunity for Deshaun to come in and potentially, like I said, be a backup, or if an injury occurs, come in and potentially show us your worth as a starter. We're not paying you what Cleveland played you at all. That day is over. Once he finishes up this contract, that's his last big contract ever. But yeah, somebody will come in and give him 1 year, 10, 15 million for sure. I think that's doable for a team that's in desperation or that needs some assistance.
Good. So I'm going to just put a scenario out, right?
Okay.
So the Browns, they win four games, right?
Okay.
They're at the top of the draft. They still have that pick from the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? And so they're more likely going to have two top picks, right? If there's a quarterback on the board, do you think they still build out their roster and just run with like a Shador or Dylan Gabriel, or do you see them actually going to get another quarterback next season?
It depends on if those four wins were with a substantial amount of time played by Shador and or Dylan. Have they had an opportunity to really see them at their full potential? I think if they have played a significant role, then yes, you'd look at another quarterback. But if they've been like, okay, I played Shador maybe two games, I played Dylan a game or two, and I played Joe Flacco for the other remaining games and started Kenny Pickett in reserve, then nah, you got an opportunity to fill out your roster and say, okay, well, let's go back and run it back with either Dylan or Shador and see how that better suits us as a team and organization, right? I think you drafted both of them with either reluctantly or willingly to say, okay, they could potentially be something here in Cleveland. So yeah, I think it would be idiotic as an organization to say, okay, I'm going to go spend a first-round pick on another quarterback, and then you run into, once again, another year of, you know, needing a thing. One second, I need to take this call, brother. My bad.
And go to the main screen. Yeah, so I think what John was saying was right. I think they have a different options, right? And I think the Browns are really a low-class organization, right, for many reasons. And the only thing with the Browns, though, is that I think they're on borrowed time, because you have, like, Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett pleaded with the ownership that they needed to have a plan. We saw that with the offseason Hard Knocks, whatever. And their plan seems to be chaotic. And I know that Myles Garrett ultimately wants to win. And with that division, I don't know necessarily if he will be able to. So it's going to be interesting to see, like, if Myles Garrett is on the roster next year and what they do and how they handle that. I think they have a lot of good pieces. But ultimately, I think this year is pivotal in terms of not just Andrew Berry, but also Kevin Stefanski, because I feel like at the end of the day, when you could see that cutaway shot when they drafted Shador, I don't think either of them wanted him. And I think this was from up top as in ownership. But yeah, it's going to be real interesting. So, all right, so let's move on. So I feel like the biggest talk of the offseason has been with the Cincinnati Bengals for the wrong reasons. So Recently, they drafted the Texas A&M defensive tackle Shamar Stewart, and they had signed T. Higgins. They signed Jamar Chase, and they, you know, signed Mason. You know, they signed their other draft picks, but Shamar Stewart was holding out, and people thought that Shamar Stewart was being jealous. People, I mean, Shamar Stewart was being greedy with his money. But it came out recently, Shamar Stewart went off on the front office, and Shamar Stewart was saying that they were trying to insert this new clause where, you know, if he had any issues or didn't meet any of the standards, if he got injured, then all of his guarantees would be wiped away. And also on the defensive end, we see with Trey Hendrickson has been going with the has been in the contract dispute ever since this past season. Right. And so for the last 5 months, they've been struggling getting those two contracts under order. And I kind of want to talk about Cincinnati's strategy, because we know Cincinnati historically has been a team that has struggled early in the season. And I think if they lose early in the season this year, then it's going to be some real problems, because I don't think Zach Taylor is coming back if they miss the playoffs. I think Joe is going to be angry. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be questioning a lot of roles in Cincinnati in terms of hot seat, from general manager all the way down to, you know, the end of the bench. So I guess let's start with the Bengals front office. We kind of talked in the group chat about how the Bengals are sorry in terms of their front office management. How do you feel as an AFC North fan about not just the Browns organization, but now the Bengals organization that seems dysfunctional as well?
Okay. Oh, my bad. Yeah, I think for me, bro, I think about the Bengals organization, bro. Right now, they look piss poor. They really do. They really do look piss poor. It's kind of sad. Like, I laugh because they're in my division, and I'm like, y'all suck. But it's also sad because I'm like you said, looking at Shamar. At first, I was like, Shamar, like, why are you going so crazy? Like, you've never played a down of, you know, NFL football. I'm thinking it's like, you know, over guarantees and things like that. I'm like, your college production doesn't necessarily warrant this kind of, you know, behavior from you. But when it came out to light that, you know, the Bengals are trying to add in this clause that they've never added in before for any other draft pick, it's like, I get your frustration. You know what I'm saying? Like, how y'all just want to, like, kind of just try to make me the guinea pig for this? And it's like, nah, I don't want to subject myself to that. And I shouldn't have to. And I understand that, right? Because, like, how you essentially, you're saying, like, let me cover myself before I even touch the field. So because of that, why would I want to play for you right now until you decide that you want to pay me or, like, give me something else? You know what I'm saying? Like, and because y'all are not budging, it's like, y'all trying to make me look bad. You know what I'm saying? I think that organizationally wise, who also in a contract dispute with your top defensive player in Trey Hendrickson, it's like, this doesn't look good for y'all in regards to anything. Like you just mentioned a minute ago, if y'all don't get these two things resolved before the season begins, it looks really bad for y'all. Because defensively, y'all suck. Like, y'all have nobody. If Trey Hendrickson doesn't play and Shamar Stewart doesn't play, I mean, it's going to look really bad defensively wise. So, yeah, you might put up 40 points with Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, and Jamar, but you're getting 45 scored on you and still losing the game because your defense can stop literally no one. And that was the issue last year. That's been the issue for the past since Joe Burrow has been drafted. The defense has been absolutely abysmal. I mean, they can't stop a water leak. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just been really bad for them. And so, to see that they continue to have defensive struggles, knowing that they're not a good defensive team, is beyond me. It's like, you would think you would kind of try to not break the bank, but open up your checkbook and say, hey, you've been really productive defensively wise. Trey Hendrickson leading the lead pretty much with 18 sacks the past two seasons. Like, you don't get that kind of production often. This is not like an everyday occurrence. You know what I'm saying? So, like, the fact that they just refused to give him an extension and then just saying, well, just play under your current deal, nah, I'm not going for that. If I'm Trey Hendrickson either. And then with Shamar, it's like, yeah, nah, I'm not going to go for that either when you've never done so to anyone else. Had this been a standard, had this been a norm for y'all, cool, that makes more sense. But you're just saying, yeah, we're going to start it with you, and you're going to have to go with it. Nah. When I read the article the other day that he has the option to sit out the season and be redrafted, you know, in 2026, that's the first time I've ever heard that in my entire life. I've never heard of a player, like, sitting out a season and being redrafted. You know what I'm saying? And then we had a whole discussion after that about, you know, would he be drafted in the first round and da-da-da-da. And so you're putting yourself at risk if you decide to take that route. But also at this current moment, it's like the team doesn't even believe in me enough to stay healthy, to pay me. So it's like, don't ever want to play for this organization. So you're kind of it's a really interesting battle because shoot, I didn't think they'd be able to pay T. Higgins. I knew they were gonna pay Jamar because they had to. He won Triple Crown. Yeah. I didn't think they were gonna pay T. But shout out to the agent who works actually for both of them. So he made that joint work for them. Like you said, Joe doesn't like losing, but shoot, you're gonna miss the playoffs again, messing around with this front office. So I don't know what has to happen. And since now I know somebody needs to do a contract restructure offensively to help the defense out. But something got to give, bro, because, I mean, Joe Burrow can't score 45 points every game and expect to win. That's just not going to happen.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest thing for me is, what is the message you're sending to your locker room? Because your top draft pick is not even at camp. So he can't just come back to camp and just learn the playbook in 2 weeks.
Nah, facts.
What does that even look like in terms of your defense? Trey Hendrick, your top – so – I don't know who else they have on their defensive line, but it's like your top essential pieces aren't there, you know, going, taking reps. And it's not like y'all have lockdown corners where you can keep, you know, you cannot have a good pass rush. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there's just going to be constant shootouts. And I just don't understand. We're talking about something minuscule to over, and you know, in terms of the overall cap space,
right. His
rookie contract is not going to hurt you. It's like, exactly. Just money with the, just give them fully guaranteed, you know, over the course of 4 years. And if you mess up, then you're not taking the hit as much.
Yep.
And like you mentioned, Joe, I feel like, you know, Joe at this point, we thought that when he went to the Super Bowl that this was going to be a reoccurring thing between him and Mahomes. But if you look at these past couple of years, his stats have been great. But in terms of winning and production, it hasn't. And I think this really puts a taint on his legacy. And I think he understands that as well. And I just think the Browns are really doing him a disservice. And I think the more that this drama piles on, it's like I'm questioning if Joe will be a Bengal for life.
Yeah, that's true, bro. That's actually a very good point. Because like you said, I need to go somewhere where I can get some help. And yes, I have a crazy receiving core. But I mean, you got to have defense. Defense wins championships. Clearly, in Cincinnati, that... If it's true nowhere else, it's true in Cincinnati. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've seen what it looked like since your beginning of your career with no defense. And he's coming from LSU. We had a stellar defense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you've seen what that defense was like at LSU. And so, like, to come to Cincinnati with nothing, and yeah, he led him to the Super Bowl, but it's like he literally had to fight and claw every single week, every single game. And it's like, bro, clearly he hasn't been working for him the past 2-3 years. Because he hasn't been back since. He hasn't even been to a championship game since. So it's like, I mean, he did go to the championship game, excuse me. He hasn't been to he hadn't made the playoffs last year. And the year before that, they only won like one game. So it's like, nah, it's clearly he's needed some help. And so it's like, even with the money that y'all paid me, after this money gone, I'm going to be gone too.
Yeah, yeah. And they have no excuse because when you look at the Ravens and you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, they're able to get these deals done. Like, they have A.J. Brown. They have Devonta Smith. Like, you have Saquon Barkley and a stellar defense. These kind of things, when you were making the Super Bowl, you had to think 5 years out and say, hey, we're going to draft. We're going to develop. We're going to build this team in a way we can keep stars and retained on this roster.
Right.
And it's like, that's where good front offices separate from great front offices. And I think the Bengals are below that and below average.
Yeah.
So, let's switch over to the Ravens. So I like yourself. I have them winning the division. I just feel like for the sake of consistency and less drama, I would give them the nod. But how are you feeling about the Ravens going into this offseason with the mini camps and into next season?
Man, I tell you what, bro. I have really been locked in with Ravens content this year, in regards to watching us and what we've been doing, the guys we've been re-signing, the guys we've been signing. I really have been like just want to make sure we're on the up and up, right? And I think the draft did us really good. I watched the Ravens Wire the other day, and I was just looking at Malachi Starks, who will now be the starting safety because Ardarius Washington, is going down. I think even had Ardarius not gone down with this ACL injury, I think that Malachi would have eventually just played himself into a starting position. I've heard nothing but good things from the Ravens organization, from the players, from all the content I've been reading about Malachi. I've heard nothing but good things. I'm super excited to see what he does this year in Baltimore. Defense, like I said, pairing him with Kyle Hamilton. We got Marlowe. I think Nate Wiggins takes a big jump in year two for him at corner. We went ahead and signed Awuzie from – he was in Tennessee last year. Saw him at corner as well. And so linebacker-wise, I think Roquan got a little bit better. We're going to see if Trent Simpson can really lock in this year, and I think he can to kind of complement Roquan. Defensive line wise, I think once again we still got those dogs up front. We added in Mike Green. I really want to see him ball out this year. The rookie out of from Marshall, man. I talked a lot about him in the mock draft with you and Hundo. And y'all only had faith in my boy Mike Green, but he's a Raven now. So I got faith. And watch what I tell you. I think he's really gonna show the world something. I think he's gonna show them that he dropping to the second round was a mistake. And dropping to Baltimore, you know what I'm saying? I think we needed some pass rush help. We got Van Noy and Owe, but we do a lot of rotate when it comes to that D-line. And so I think having a pass rush and having an endless supply and some depth there really helps. Ojabo from Michigan, see if he takes a step this year. He needs to kind of stay in Baltimore after this season. Adisa Isaac, another defensive end guy from Penn State who played with Owe. So I think we got some pieces depth-wise. Offensively, man, we just signed Rashad Bateman back. I thought that was a great signing for us because Rashad came in and had a career year last year after we gave him that first contract extension. And so I think that it was only right to pay him duly just this year with a three-year $36 million contract. Zay Flowers will be up for contract soon, so I think it was best to get that Rashad Bateman out first and then come follow up and pay Rashad, pay Zay after. Tyler Linderbaum, we re-signed Ronnie Stanley. Lamar, obviously, still quarterback. Re-signed Derrick Henry to another deal. Keith Mitchell's back at running back. He had tore ACL, so he's fully recovered from that. He said he's faster than he was before he got injured, which is crazy because he was super fast before he was running a 4.2. So, I mean, if he's faster than that now, I mean, the league might really be in trouble with us having a three-headed monster, even with Justice Hill back there as well. And so our biggest concern right now is going to be who's going to win off this left guard position. In training camp, and I right now I think Andrew Voorhees, he's a second year guy out of USC. He started actually last year, third year guy, excuse me, out of USC. He redshirted his rookie year. Last year he started, but he got injured again. And so this year he's fully healthy, looks like. He's been training super hard, so he's getting the nod right now to start at left guard. But we also drafted Emory Jones out of LSU. We still got Ben Cleveland out of UGA. So, I mean, we got some guys, man, that's going to be out there to protect Lamar. So, I mean, offensive line wise, I'm really excited, man. Like you said, I think in culmination, we have a really, really good roster to push for Super Bowl this year. So, I'm excited for it.
So, it's obviously Super Bowl a bust for Lamar. Yeah. So, let's take Lamar out of the picture.
Yeah.
Who has to have a big year? Who are you looking forward to having a big year on the roster in order for y'all to win the Super Bowl?
Gotta have a big year. I mean, it's going to have to be defensively. I mean, I think our issue in the past couple of years hasn't necessarily been Lamar. I think Lamar has played a part into it with some of the turnovers, yes. But I think defensively wise, we have to stop people. That's the thing at the end of the day. We got to get a stop even if Lamar messes up. So I'm going to have to put it on the defense. I'm going to say we got to start out fast. Last year, we started out super slow. We were like 32nd in the league for the first like 6 or 7 weeks with passing defense. We can't come out like that this year. We got to come out heavy and getting picks and getting stops and all those kind of things, because that leads to us early success, right? And building up that confidence. We got a rookie once again, Malachi Starks. We got a second year guy, Nate Wiggins. We got young linebackers. I mean, we need the vets. We need Cal Hamilton to, you know, be Cal Hamilton again, all pro. We need Roquan, all pro. We need Marlo again, all pro. We need, you know, Medibike, get back, all pro. I need them 10 sacks again. We need Owe with another 10 sacks. We need Van Noy with another 10 sacks. We got to lead the league again in sacks. We've been really good with that the past 2 years with leading the league in sacks. But, I mean, we got to continue that kind of dominance. I think if we stop them from scoring, we win. That's the key. But I think one thing I didn't mention was this. Now that Justin Tucker's gone, we got a new kid, Tyler Loop. He's a rookie kicker out of Arizona. He's going to have to come in, man, and not be a rookie. He'll be a grown man from day one. So he's going to have a lot. I mean, there's going to be a lot of eyes on him, right, because we cut Justin Tucker amidst all the stuff that was going on and just, you know, he had kind of fallen into some slumps in the past couple of years. Now this rookie has to come in. And so if we have to potentially rely on him to win to kick a game, we figure we need to have some confidence he can do that, right? And I think that Baltimore does a good job when it comes to drafting free agent guys. He's the first quick kicker we've ever drafted. The first one, we've always had undrafted kickers from Matt Stover to Billy Cundiff to Justin Tucker. All these guys were never drafted. So for this Tyler Loop kid to be drafted, I mean, buddy got it. Going to have to be tough. Going to have to be tough. But so, I mean, it's a lot of pressure.
Low-key, it could be a blessing in disguise, because I feel like having Justin Tucker on the sidelines, it created this conservative feeling where I knew I could always get three, right?
Yeah.
But you see like Harbaugh being more aggressive in the game plan now, where it's like, you know, we could, you know, be conservative and get three here, or we could go for seven, you know?
Yeah.
Like going into the half at the end of games, whatnot.
I agree with that for sure. I think we've been more aggressive, especially in the past couple of years, just because we just really had Lamar. It was always like, oh, well, it's fourth down. We got Justin Tucker, yeah, but we also got Lamar. So I think, like you said, I think definitely it does push us to say, yeah, let's stay on the field more, just in case. We don't necessarily know we can get at the rookie just yet. But I think, like I said, kind of what I've been saying with other teams in the AFC North, I think that preseason will give us an opportunity in the training camp as well to see what we got. I think we'll take a lot more field goals, 3 points in the preseason, just to see, like, give them some practice reps, give them some live time game reps and see, like, what we got. Because in the regular season, we can't take them chances. We can't. We got a tough out the gate with Buffalo, in Buffalo. We got to come out dogfighting. We really can't rely on 3 points. You know what I'm saying? That whole game to win. So we got to lock in from game one. And I really, truly believe, like, everybody's really, really in go mode. We've been too close to not win it. We've had teams that should have won it. So, like you said, the Super Bowl a bust for us, and we got to get there. So I think everybody really going to be locked in. Everybody really going to be in that zone. I've seen it. So we got a mandatory minicamp next week. That'll give me some more determination. We signed D-Hop. I always forget about we signed D-Hop this year too. So now we really got a strong, one of our best receiving cores that we've ever had since Lamar's been there. And I've said that before, but this one, it really is. It really is. I mean, we really got some guys. So I'm excited to see, man. Zay got bigger. He's been in the weight room. D-Hop has been, they said D-Hop ran one of the fastest times in OTAs this offseason. So I'm like, people think he lost his step. And it's like, yeah, y'all sleep. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, I just can't unsee what I saw in the Super Bowl with D-Hop. Like, that drop catch just, and I know it's just one drop catch, but it's like, man, I remember with the D-Hop I used to see, like, in Arizona and Houston. It just didn't seem like it was the same. But let's keep going. So I want to go over to the AFC East with New England. So the other big news in the offseason has been with Stephon Diggs. Obviously, he was on the board. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, him signing that contract and coming off the injury, right? The Patriots have made a lot of moves, like good and bad, this offseason, but they've been aggressive. And they got Will, what's the guy's name? The office staff, LSU,
Will Campbell.
Yeah. So let's talk about, spend a few minutes talking about the AFC East. What are your expectations for Patriots? And who do you have winning the division?
I think the Patriots are going to be sorry. My expectations for the division, who's going to win? Who do they got? Let me see. Patriots, Jets,
the Bills,
Dolphins, and the Bills. So the Bills are going to win. I think hands down. I don't think it's even a question for me. Tua is just, it's unfortunate, but Miami is just, organization-wise, is just not good. So they got a lot going on internally with Tyreek Hill. And other things amidst that. So I just don't, they're not going to be good. Not good enough to beat the Bills. Patriots not going to beat the Bills. And the Jets, they want to be good. Justin Fields could do something, but it's not going to be enough to do anything. Like, playoffs is a no for them. So, I mean, yeah, the Bills win that division easily, in my personal opinion. It's a runaway, actually. They might sweep the whole division. To be honest with you. So,
who's second in that division?
Honestly, bro, the Jets could be second. I think the Jets have a better defense than Miami right now. Offensively wise, I mean, they got Tariq Hill, they got Jalen Waddle, but the thing has always been Tua. That's the thing. It get cold in October, and they got to go up to New York to play in a Thursday night game. You're cooked. So it's like, yeah. I think the Jets, if Justin Fields comes out and is actually playing decent with his weapons, him and Myles Garrett have been playing together. Not Myles Garrett. Garrett Wilson playing together since Ohio State, right? So, I mean, like, they got that connection. I think the issues have always been that offensive line with them. So, it depends on how that offensive line blocks for him. And defensively, they got a lot of guys that can really hoop. You got Sauce, one of the best corners in the league. You know, you still got, you know, Quincy Williams down there and his brother, a linebacker. So, it's like, we got some pieces. They wanted to let C.J. Mosley go, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure C.J. Mosley's not in New York anymore. So, I mean, that's going to be a big change for them. But it's going to be really interesting to see what could happen there.
Yeah. I actually, looking at the Patriots' schedule, I think they have a very favorable schedule. I have the Bills winning in the landslide in terms of that division.
Yeah.
But I could see the Patriots sneaking in the second because I feel like the Dolphins are really just dysfunctional. Like, ever since the whole thing with Brian Flores, it just seems like people thought that 70-point game versus the Broncos, they were, you know, a contender. They were amongst the Chiefs and the Ravens and all those good teams. But the reality is, man, they're not good at all.
Yeah.
And I feel like Mike Vrabel provides a little bit of stability with the Patriots. Question is, what do we get with Stephon Diggs? Because is Stephon Diggs still a wide receiver one, right? And if he's not, does that wide receiver room look like last year, right? Do we have anybody we can go to? Because I feel like Drake May, in this early stage of his rookie year, or, you know, in his, you know, rookie-ish career, mm-hmm. he needs somebody he can go to, right? To trust.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Do you think that this is a make or break year for the Dolphins? Like, do you think Mike McDaniel's on the hot seat if they suck this year?
He should be, but will he be? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where Miami's direction is right now as a team. Like I said, on paper, Miami was supposed to have a roster 2-3 years ago. They had one of the craziest rosters in the league. You got Tyreek Hill and Waddle, and they had Raheem Mostert and those guys on offense. Defensively, you had Ramsey and Wilkins and Jaden Phillips. I see him in Buffalo. I think he's in Miami too. Then they wound up trading for Bradley Chubb. I mean, like, you had all these guys and, like, couldn't get nothing done.
Yeah.
And now a lot of these guys are gone or, you know, not wanting to be there. And it's just a lot going on in Miami that the organization is kind of lost right now. So I just – with another losing year this year, because, I mean, they're not winning anything of importance this year, I think that they could explore the options, that quarterback and that head coach.
Yeah. Is Tyreek on the roster next season?
Nah. Nah, he not. They lose. Start losing again. Nah, Tyreek won a Super Bowl. Another one, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, and so he not just trying to lose. Keep losing.
I agree. I think Miami is gonna suck this year. I really, honestly, I have them like buying for last in the division. I feel like Aaron Glenn. It's between the Jets and the Dolphins for me. Yeah. I haven't decided which one I want to put last, but. I just feel like because Aaron Glenn is going into New York as his first coaching job, there's going to be a lot of pressure and a lot of expectations. Yeah. He has to do something. And with the Jets' schedule, they don't have a lot of adjusting games where they can just have layups. And I just feel like with all the scrutiny and everything going on, they handled the Aaron Rodgers situation. Is Justin Fields a good quarterback? It's just too much. And I just feel like even though they have a good defense, I don't know if they have necessarily enough on offense to keep up with a lot of these
teams. Facts.
Yeah,
that's right.
So who do you have winning the NFC East? Like the Cowboys you mentioned earlier, like the Giants, the Eagles, Commanders. Is it the Philly?
The Eagles. That's what if I was a buts about it. For me personally, I think that Dallas will be better this year with their receiving core, but defensively, they're another team that doesn't have an identity. I mean, you got Micah Parsons, and Trayvon Diggs will come back, but then what?
So you don't think?
Huh?
So you don't think the Commanders can win the division?
They have a chance, but I just think Philly's just too dominant still.
Yeah.
For me personally. I know Washington added Debo, but Terry isn't there right now. So, I mean, like, that's a wild card. So it's like, okay, you lose Terry, you're definitely not winning the division. I'm going to keep it a stack with you. Defense can be as good as they want to be. And then defense is, like, good, but they're not great. I think Philly's defense is great. So.
Yeah.
I got Philly winning that division again.
Yeah. I sent y'all boys that text a while back after they had the Super Bowl parade. I like how Vangio brought the team together and wanted to go over the defense because they had some mistakes in the second half. And I feel like that kind of mentality can help them to repeat because they have a lot of guys who still feel like there's a chip on their shoulder. I got Philly winning that division. Think it got it in order. Philly, Washington, honestly, I would say the Giants will be over the Cowboys. I'm not a fan of the Cowboys this season. Just because of the head coach, we just don't know what they're going to like, what he is. He's gotten fired from multiple locations and as an offensive coordinator. So it's like, what do they have?
Yeah.
How do you think that the whole Russ-Jameis situation is going to be this year? And do you think Jaxon Dart starts at all this year?
Jaxon Dart's not starting at all this year. But also, the Giants aren't just going to be good offensively. That line sucks. That offensive line is abysmal. And they have not fixed it yet. They keep addressing that defensive line, which is – they're tough. That defensive line is tough with Dexter and Thibodeau, Burns, and they just drafted doggone Abdul Carter. So I'm like, that's ferocious. That's a ferocious four. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So offensive line wise, no, it's gonna be really bad. So I think it's gonna lead to Russ being on the ground a lot this year. I mean, you got Malik Nabers out there on offense, but then what? So yeah, I mean, New York's still gonna be New York, they still gonna be losing. So I don't see them being better than Dallas. I think it's gonna be a tough battle with the defense and offense, but opposite wise, New York ain't gonna be able to do nothing. So yeah, I don't know. Russ is just another team we just collecting a check. So
fair. Not mad at him. Who wins the NFC South?
That one's always a toss up. Carolina, Bucks. Who else out there?
Yeah,
New Orleans. They're not winning. Falcons could be intriguing. I really want to see what Michael Penix does, man, as a starting quarterback in Atlanta. I think he didn't they give him the nod to start this year?
Well, I think Kirk has been at training camp, but I don't think he's been taking reps. I think it's been majority Michael.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, and Michael starts, they have an opportunity to do something in Atlanta this year. If Kirk starts, nah. If Kirk starts, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay again. If Michael starts, they can challenge Tampa Bay to win that division. That's what I'd say, personally. But also, and Carolina could be a dark horse in that division. They could sneak up, catch some teams slipping in a division. They could do something. But also, I'm not putting no stake in that. In my personal opinion, Carolina reminds me a lot more of like New York and Cleveland. Like they're kind of at the bottom of the division. But also, they're not going to be at the very bottom because New Orleans sucks. I want everybody to hear me clearly. All the Saints fans out there, pack your bags for Cancun right now. I'd actually purchase my ticket to Cancun immediately. I wouldn't waste any time really watching the games. I'd watch them from Cancun, honestly, and just wait for the team to get there and meet y'all there. So, yeah, I think Carolina could be third, actually, this year. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that, Carolina. I'm sorry. Y'all better than New Orleans. Yeah.
Can any team from this division win the Super Bowl this year?
No, Colin. you must have wrote that down just to try to get a rise out of me. The answer politically is no. The answer politically is no, sir. They cannot. They're not made up to win any Super Bowls in the next 5 years in anybody in that division. Nobody in that division set to win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years in the NFC South. I'm gonna repeat it again.
We gotta stamp that for sure.
Yeah, please stamp it. If somebody in the NFC South wins a Super Bowl in the next 5 years in Atlanta, Carolina, Tampa, or the New Orleans Saints. Yeah, every subscriber, I got something for y'all. If any of them 14 in the next 5 years, I got a gift for every subscriber who subscribes to the podcast.
Wow!
Okay. I'm gonna clip that and put it on. I'm gonna put it on the extra page too, and on TikTok.
We gotta clip that for sure.
Yeah.
The only person I think has a chance is Tampa Bay. I kind of like, you know, how Baker has kind of had his redemption story, but I don't think they have enough to compete with the contenders. That's the only team that would have a shot to get to playoffs, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's like we have to put an NFC South team in the playoffs just because.
Yeah, just because. But Super Bowl winning, nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
All right, so let's go over to the NFC North. So you got the Bears, the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings. So I want to start with this Jair news. So we have Jair was recently cut. They've been trying to find a trade partner for him, but they didn't want to pay him the $17 million. So realistically, like, before we get into the actual division, where do you see Jair landing?
Boy, oh boy, Baltimore. Get on that phone, Baltimore. I ain't never mad at another corner, Baltimore. Lamar and Jair played together in Louisville, Baltimore. They're good friends. I'm just saying. And he's probably gonna take a 1 year deal, something team friendly, because the Packers still gotta pay him. The dead money they owe him, just like Russ when he left Denver. So I mean they gotta get that man his bread. So he might sign something team friendly with a contender. You know what I'm saying? I think he wants, he's young. He's still young, 28. He want to win. I think he wants, I think he also wants another contract. So I think he'll take a 1-year deal somewhere. I think I heard from Josina that he's already heard from 6 teams. But I think he wants to go with the contender. I've also heard that Pittsburgh is looking for a corner. But I don't think that they're a contender. So I think that he'll go to a contender. I think that contention-wise, he'll look at Buffalo, Baltimore, Philly. And Philly already got kind of some corners solidified. So Baltimore, Buffalo, I think he'll look at heavily. And then he'll make a decision. So I think that young man will sign a 1-year deal with one of those teams and help get them to where they need to be to be honest with you. Because I think Baltimore, we get Jair. Oh, my gosh. I mean, we have the best secondary in the NFL, hands down.
That's fair.
Like, it would be crazy. It would be absolutely insane if Jair would be a Raven this year. So I really want to see what he signs, because I think the thing has been, oh, he's been injured the past 2 years, which is true. He's only played 14 games in the past 2 years. But when he's healthy, top 5 corner in the league. Yeah. And that's not really up for debate either. So, I mean, somebody's about to get a dog for this season until he gets a big contract next year. So,
who's the best quarterback in the NFC North?
Best quarterback in the NFC North?
Yeah.
We got JJ. We got Jordan. We got Jared Goff. And we got Caleb Williams. JJ is clearly number 4. They're down. Caleb hasn't shown me enough yet, so he's number 3. That leaves me with Jared and Jordan Love. Based off production, honestly, it's Jared Goff. He's number 1 in that division, with Jordan Love close. Jordan Love's very close, but I'm going to give it to Jared Goff, bro. I mean, in Detroit, he's been balling. The numbers don't lie. His numbers are crazy up in Detroit for the past couple of seasons. So I'm gonna go Jared Goff, number 1 quarterback currently in the NFC North.
That's true. I think I would go slightly Jared Goff. I think last year, Jordan Love took a kind of dip.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I just don't know where Jordan ranks now. Because, you know, after Dallas win, you were ready to put him up there. It's like, all right, you're coming back no normal.
Not back.
Yeah, but so, okay, I'm thinking about the JJ talk because we both clearly put JJ number 4. So it's like, what is Minnesota's plan? Because I feel like you're just wasting JJ's when I say JJ, I'm talking about Justin Jefferson.
I'm about to say, which JJ are you talking about here?
I'm talking about the real JJ.
Okay.
Like, it's JJ's prime, and it's like, are they just trying to say we traded up to get this man, we're just going to try to, you know, salvage anything we can get? Because even in Michigan, nobody was like, oh my gosh, I got to play JJ McCarthy. It was like, we got to play Michigan. So I don't know what their plan is.
And that was my thing too, bro. Like when he came out in the draft, I was like, nobody's like was stunting for JJ McCarthy in college. like you said, nobody was game planning. Like, oh my God, we got to face JJ this week. Woof. A lot of game planning to do. I don't know, bro. I think for me personally, Jettis got paid. So I don't know if he's really worried about like who's throwing him the ball right now. I think he's just trying to like keep getting his bread. So I think sometimes like it's almost like a who did I put that situation in? Sometimes you guys just want to get paid. Bro. I'm trying to think like who else is top that don't have like a good quarterback. It's like I just got paid. Shoot, DK, he in that same situation. I mean, he just signed like a 5-year contract in Pittsburgh and didn't even have a quarterback when he signed. So it's like sometimes you just like, well, I'm gonna just get paid. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. Like whoever throw me the ball is gonna throw me the ball. I'm gonna just do what I gotta do to keep getting paid. So I think kind of, but also shoot, that Minnesota defense was ferocious last year. That led them to the playoffs, and they stunk it up when they got there. But I think that they could potentially do that again this year. And JJ might surprise me. He might wind up come out there throwing darts and doing things I didn't know he had the capability to do. I don't know if I'm going to be wrong on that sentiment at all. I don't know if JJ's going to wind up. I think he's going to wind up being who I think he is, which is out of Minnesota very soon. So I think that there will be a quarterback change soon in Cincinnati. And Minnesota could be a trade. Could be something, you know, crucial. You know what could happen? And this would be very interesting. If Cleveland gets rid of Shador, he ends up in Minnesota. Now, that would be intriguing to me, at least, as an NFL fan, because I think that they're already set up with a plethora of weapons offensively, because they still got Jordan Addison out there, too, with JJ with Jettis. They're running back, O-line, yep, Aaron. And defensively, once again, they had one of the top defenses in the league last year. So you put up with if JJ McCarthy sucks, we get you a capable quarterback, it might get kind of scary in that division. For even the Lions, it might get kind of scary for them too, because they were already fighting with Minnesota last year. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think both of us have the same kind of sentiment when it comes to JJ McCarthy. I think he's going to get exposed into the year, right? And I just feel like in terms of decision making, he could rely on the running game with Michigan. And I don't think Minnesota is that type of team, because Aaron Jones is a good back, but he's getting older in his career. And with JJ and Jordan Addison, they're going to try to pass that ball. And I just don't know if he can necessarily make the right reads in order to be a top quarterback in this league or in this division, honestly.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's move over to Chicago. So we talked about during the draft how Chicago, there's no excuse for Caleb, right? They've invested on the defense and they've invested weapons on the offense. What's a realistic, what's considered a successful season this year for Caleb and Coach Ben Johnson?
Man, Chicago got to make the playoffs, bro. They got to make the playoffs, bro. But they have to. I mean, there's been no quarterback in the past 5 years that's had a better situation in Chicago than Caleb Williams. He came in and they brought in a receiver with him when they already had DJ Moore. Last year they had Keenan Allen. The defense, what they had just signed, Sweat and all those guys, like there was nobody who came with a better situation than Caleb. So last year, last year was the second year in the league? Was it last year's first year?
Last year was his first year.
Okay, so this is year two for you. So this is year two in this offense. You got the same coordinators. A lot of the same players return to you.
So fact.
I mean, I don't see a reason that they should not. Now, don't get me wrong. The division is tough. You got to go through Detroit, who is a powerhouse at NFC right now. You got to fight with Green Bay, who you've always had to fight with. But there's no Aaron Rodgers there anymore. So the boogeyman is gone. And then you got Minnesota. So I mean, like, you have to be a grown man. And speaking on that, we gotta put this division as one of the top divisions in football as well.
That's so
if Caleb and JJ play up to the level that they need to. That's the caveat. I think that for Caleb though, I mean, like, it's no excuses. You came with the one pick, but there's no excuses for you, bro. Like, literally no excuses. He can never say, "Oh, I never had weapons. Oh, I never had a defense to help me out. Oh, I never." No. All those things were washed off the table for you. They added in Joe Thuney to help that line to keep you upright this year. The excuses out the window, Judge. What's your name, Caleb? I mean, what you gonna do with it? What you gonna do with it, big dog? You gotta turn it up. You gotta turn it up, bro. Like, be a man. That's it. You this year two, learn that playbook. There's a lot of controversy about he didn't necessarily want to go to Chicago, da 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 da. All that's gone, bro. Yeah. Put the pads on, line it up. There's going to be a lot out of you.
His timeline is only expedited now because of Jamie Daniels. Like,
yep.
I feel like now that we're seeing what he can do, Jaden Daniels, I feel like they were almost about to make the Super Bowl. Like, and for Caleb, if he, like you said, if he misses the playoffs, there's going to be a lot of people that say, man, we should have gone with Daniels.
Exactly.
Quarterback. So, I agree. So, who do you have winning that division?
And that's what's tough, bro. I feel like I said, with the way that Jung is set right now, I'm going to still take Detroit. But depending on what happens in Minnesota, they can make some shape. Minnesota, like I said, they're not that much off from Detroit. And Detroit just lost their starting center in Frank Ragnarok or something like that. Yeah. He was one of the best centers in the league. So, like, they got to replace that, which takes a huge hit to their offense as a unit. Because the offensive line was, like, one of the best in football. And so the fact that they lost him, that takes a huge hit to them. So it's like, y'all have an opportunity, Minnesota. You have an opportunity. I wouldn't say Green Bay, but they just lost their best corner. And I don't know who their corners are right now. I saw a report they're trying out free safeties at corner. I said, oh, no. It's been a long season. They're trying to free safety that corner. That's not good for y'all. So I think that puts them at a hurting. Like I said, Chicago has a big opportunity in this division right now to like man up or shut up. But for now, it's Detroit's division to lose. It's theirs to lose.
Yeah, I have Detroit winning the division. I have actually Green Bay second. I don't think, like, I think that Chicago has the weapons, but I think they're going to drop some games, and it's like, come on, Caleb. And I feel like it's going to be Ben Johnson's first time as a head coach, and there's a lot of continuity with, like you said, the Minnesota, Green Bay's, and Detroit's, and I think Green Bay sneaks into that second slot, but Detroit wins it. All right, so, okay, let's go over to the NFC West. So we have the Rams, the Cardinals, the Seahawks, and the 49ers. 49ers signed Brock Purdy. And he is getting paid 55, I think, a year.
Too much. Let me tell you right now. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. 49ers, y'all gonna regret that decision immediately. Immediately. You gave Brock Purdy $55 million. I'm gonna bite my tongue. I'm gonna bite my tongue. But here's the truth. Here's my truth. He's not worth $55 million a year.
And so what's worth? Like, what's a good number for you?
40.
Okay, so, but see, the thing is, I guess there's two ways we're looking at this. Like, obviously, from the 49ers, it's like, all right, you could have probably gotten him on a discount. But for Buck, I'm like, I'm better than the guys that are getting, I'm better than Trevor, I'm better than that, I've done more. Like, I deserve to get paid this money.
You did more because you had more pieces.
So,
like, once again, here's the thing. If I take this same Brock Purdy and throw him to Vegas, then what?
But you can say that about Dak and Trevor. Put them in Vegas. It's the same stuff.
Nah, they would have a better season. Trevor and Dak would have a better season in Vegas than Brock Purdy would.
Man, they're going to have the same season. It's going to be the same. Oh, they don't have any weapons. No. Like,
I don't view Brock Purdy as this guy that she's making $55 million a year, bro. $55 million a year is insane. But it's okay. All shall be exposed. All shall be exposed. Don't worry.
I agree with you on that.
Don't worry.
Now that you're paying the big money, you have to do the big things.
You gotta provide big stats.
Every year. Yep.
You can't bring 55 and then come out here and throw in 25 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. No, sir.
That's a fact. I agree. And you don't have Debo anymore.
And you don't have Debo.
You have to be a man.
You got to be a man. You got CMC, you got Ayuk, and you got Kittle. So, I mean, you got to make some shake with them three.
Yeah. So, surprisingly, I don't know who you had winning the division, but I got the Rams winning this division. I think the addition with Devontae and that defense that I saw last year, I think the Rams run away with it. I think the San Francisco is probably going to be number two, and then I would go Seahawks and Cardinals.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about the NFC West overall? Who do you have winning the division?
NFC, you said NFC overall. I'm going to take the Rams as well, brother. Like you said, with that division, with them keeping Matthew Stafford, they didn't really know what's going to happen with that, but then they added in Devontae Adams. I think that helps them a lot. Yes, they lost Cooper Kupp, right, to the Seahawks, but when you replace them with Tay Adams, and you still got Puka Nacua out there, you still got Kyron Williams at running back. So at the O-line, still got that young defensive guys out there. What's my guy named? Verse and the other young boy that they got out there on the defensive side. So, I mean, like, they're going to be smooth, bro. I like what I'm seeing from them. And I think that they have enough to win that division. It's sad because San Fran was, you know, the powerhouse in that division for a while. But now they got Brock Purdy as starting quarterback. I just don't have no faith in that kid. I'm not going to hold you. I really don't. And he may prove me wrong, bro. But I really got a feeling he's not going to. $55 million is a lot of money that you put into this seventh round pick. I think he wanted to show you why he was a seventh round pick.
See, but my thing is, okay, I hear you. But one thing I can say is, like, with him being with an offensive coach like Shanahan can cover a multitude of sins. So there's a lot of things that are probably wrong. If he were on the Raiders, if he were on a sorry team, like, oh, the Giants. But I feel like because he's with Shanahan, he still has George Kittle. And they're a run-first offense. Obviously, you got CMC. Hopefully, he stays healthy. Trent Williams, great defense. Like, there's a lot of things that he just has to maintain the status quo, and they can win games, in my opinion. Now, the question would more so come when it gets to playoffs, because in playoffs, harder games, faster pace, he's going to have to make bigger decisions. So, yeah, I think he'll be worth the money in the regular season. It's just going to come down to the postseason if he can get over the hump and get to the Super Bowl.
And that's the problem. I don't know if the regular season is going to be worth it.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You know, we might not touch the postseason. But the regular season ain't worth it. So, I don't know, man. I got the Rams, and I don't think it's going to be too close.
Can any team from this division win a Super Bowl?
The Rams were close last year. I think if they keep up the same energy and intensity from last year, they were a team that can challenge Philly to get there. Win it? Get there? Potentially.
Yeah. All right, so we talked about the AFC West a little bit, but I want to end it with the AFC South, and we'll get into the cornerback conversation after Travis. But so let me start with this.
Let me hear your heart.
Just the elephant in the room, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so I need everybody to understand this. Daniel Jones is going to be the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. AR's injury history. And with this shoulder injury in this offseason minicamp is a big concern for me. And I feel like the way the contract is structured, with Daniel Jones almost getting $17 million, and with the incentives going mainly in the regular season, I think the Colts knew that he's going to end up being the starter. He's getting the first team reps in camp right now. And I believe AR, there has not only just been a question of the injury history, but his on-field production and his completions percentage has been abysmal. I think with our roster right now, we made a lot of good draft picks. We got the young man from Penn State. We got JT Tetsu. I don't even know how to say his last name, but for the guy from Ohio State.
Yeah.
And in the later drafts, we got a corner from Minnesota who's been actually doing well in training camp. I feel like we have the roster to compete. And I also say RIP to Jim Irsay. Definitely, you know, well wishes to his family and whatnot. But this is a changing of the guard in terms of ownership. The daughters are going to be taking over the ownership. We're going to see how that looks. But they say they want to win. And I feel like everybody's going to rally around, you know, competing for Irsay, you know, this season. But I think ultimately this is a younger, fresher outlook. And I think we can be honest about we made a mistake with Anthony Richardson. I think personally, the competition is really going to be between Daniel Jones and Riley Leonard versus Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson. I feel like Riley Leonard, you know, he could come in and be a decent quarterback for us. We'll see how he performs in the rest of this offseason. But I just think we've reached the end with Anthony's project, in my opinion.
Okay. Man, me personally, bro, I think AR, man, I think he's still the guy for y'all. Personally, I know y'all got in Daniel Jones. I forgot y'all had Riley Leonard. But I think that him and AR definitely got to both play in the preseason. Y'all going to want to see which one y'all going to start in the regular season. AR did just get injured again or have whatever the case may be with that. So it's playing a part. It's like, dang, bro, are you injury prone that bad? Like, you can't play quarterback? And so I think y'all will manage to eventually turn to Daniel Jones. And crazy enough, Daniel might thrive in Indy. Crazy enough, bro. Indy is a city that's built for a quarterback like Daniel Jones. And I don't know if it's necessarily built for a quarterback like AR. And I don't know if y'all system is built for a quarterback like AR. And unfortunately for AR. So his days may be numbered in Indy. But I tell you what, though. If his days are numbered in Indy, I got a backup spot for you in Baltimore, AR. I promise you I do. But see, my thing is this, bro. It's like, and I only say that because Buddy's still running 4-4. I mean, you can't teach speed. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I've seen him when he is healthy. I like some things that I saw from the young man. He has potential. I just don't necessarily know if that framework in Indy was ever going to be built for him. I don't know if y'all have a system for, like, mobile quarterbacks. Y'all are a more stationary team when it comes to the quarterback position. And y'all have shown that time and time again with Phillip Rivers. I mean, y'all had what's the other guy y'all had in there? Matt Ryan. I mean, like, y'all systems are built for a Daniel Jones kind of guy. So, I mean, like, that makes sense to me. It's unfortunate because I want to see AR do good. But Indy just hasn't changed under the Irsay regime. And I don't think his daughters are going to be able to change the regime and change the system to fit a black quarterback, a mobile quarterback, in Indy.
But see, hold on, because we can't throw that out there, because there's a stat out there that says that he was like 67% completion percentage on checkdowns. Like, do you know how crazy that is? Like, we can't even get the layups together. Like, this, and I'm gonna say this, I just feel like we can't even put a race card in anymore because he's just not.
Let's just say mobile quarterbacks then. Let's just say, put in mobile quarterback.
I feel like for Riley Leonard's a mobile quarterback. Like, he's not as mobile as like a Lamar, but in Notre Dame, he was running a lot. And I feel like he's a little bit more mobile than Daniel Jones. So I feel like for the type of quarterback we're looking for, it's not even in terms of mobile or stationary. It's just like, can you make the basic reads? What's up,
man? Bro, you know how I feel about Riley Leonard.
That's fair. I'm gonna give you that. But what I'm saying is, I feel like in terms of play style, Notre Dame ran the mess out of him.
And yeah.
I just think the problem with AR was more so, can you make the basic reads and can you read defenses? That was the problem. I don't think it was that type of quarterback. We would love a mobile quarterback. We would take a mobile quarterback because Shane Steichen had a mobile quarterback, well, a mobile-ish quarterback with Jalen Hurts. So
yeah, but once again, you got to look at what Philly did. When you get mobile quarterbacks, we got to change the system to fit that quarterback. Like, there was a lot of running plays designed for Jalen Hurts. You had to change the offensive line. You had to change the schemes. You got to change the way that things are done. Like, and I don't know if Indy's willing to make that totality change. Like, I think it's easy to say on paper, like, yeah, we can build something around him. But, like, culture-wise, like, all this stuff has to shift when you have a mobile quarterback. Forget him being black. A true mobile quarterback, like, you got to change things to, like, fit that kind of dynamic offensively. Change the kind of guys you're drafting. Like, you got to draft bigger body receivers, guys who can also catch across the middle. And when the smaller guys are there, so I mean, like, I think y'all want to change, but I don't know if it's going to be necessarily that thing for y'all. Now, I will say this. Y'all still got JT. I want to see that second year guy from Texas. The wide receiver? What's his name?
Oh, Adonai Mitchell.
Yes. I want to see him. I didn't catch up with him that much his rookie year. But I'm willing to bet and venture that he's going to have a jump this year for y'all at receiver. And then y'all drafted who I think was the best tight end in this draft, young bull from Penn State, Mr. Warren. So I think under Daniel Jones regime in Indy, y'all can thrive with all of that, with all of those pieces there. Now, the division is going to be tough for y'all. I'm going to keep it a band. Keep it a band because, I mean, Houston's still winning it, in my personal opinion. They just added Nick Chubb. I mean, they still got a crazy defense. And D'Amico's a defensive guy. CJ should be back fully healthy this year. Offensive line-wise, I hope that they were able to make some adjustments. I didn't follow that fully. But they have a lot of injured guys who should be back. Tank Dell, I think, should be back. What's my guy? Hutchinson? Maybe the Hutchinson. What's this? It's another guy. They've had some guys. I'm just like, okay, they got some pieces out in Houston.
Yeah.
Trevor now has Travis. I'm gonna get to kind of step into that. And then y'all got one more. Who's the last team y'all beat? Who? Oh, Cam in Tennessee. Yeah. I mean, y'all should be able to beat Tennessee. I'm not gonna hold y'all. If y'all having trouble with Tennessee, we're gonna come at the conversation and say, yeah, let's talk, Indy. Let's talk. I'm gonna tell you that right now.
Man, we definitely beaten Tennessee, bro. Like, we came in second in the division last year. I am not a fan of Trevor Lawrence, and I feel like Cam can be good. It's just going to be a lot of rookie pains because he doesn't have a lot around him that he can just lean on, even Coach, is my opinion. And the only thing with Houston, though, is, like, yes, they have the pieces, but Laramie held up that offensive line last year. And losing him to Washington, I just don't know what it's going to look like. And they say that CJ's back throwing now because he had a shoulder injury early in the offseason. I just don't know what that's going to look like this season. So hopefully they can drop some games and we can compete to win the division. I mean, I feel like the boys, we're going to be motivated, man. I don't know. Obviously, I'm not saying we're going to win the Super Bowl, but I feel like it's just one of those things that look like the Pacers. It's like, man, we just got to believe. We got to believe in each other. All right, so let's talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I'm not a fan of Trevor. And I, like I said, you know, since y'all put the boys that graphic about him compared to like quarterbacks like Geno. We call Geno like a bridge quarterback. We call people like, you know, even Baker. Like Baker is having a much better year than Trevor. And yeah. I feel like for Jacksonville, I'm curious to know what you think about how, first of all, is Trevor on the hot seat? Like, if they don't make the playoffs, like, what does that look like? He's gone through his third coach, and how, what do they do? What is the plan with Travis Hunter?
I don't think Trevor's on the hot seat, but they just paid him, what, last year? So I think, I mean, this year I think he has a rejuvenation. I'm not saying he's going to be MVP-like or anything like that, but I think that Trevor can be a good quarterback, bro. I think he's – if he can play up to what I know he can play to, he's a top 15 quarterback in the league easily. I think that for me personally, he has a lot of weapons now, and he's had weapons before, but you still got Travis back there. You got Brian Thomas Jr. Yeah, they just drafted Travis Hunter. I think it's going to be crazy. I think that, you know, offensive line-wise, I think that's been a big detriment to him. He's not had necessarily the best offensive line all the time. Defensively, also, he needed some help, but I think, I mean, Travis ain't going to be I got to see how Travis is going to look first. But I think that defensively, we got to see what happens. They also, didn't they draft somebody else defensively too? I could be mistaken. I didn't keep with him fully after the Travis draft piece. But I think that Trevor, in regards to Trevor overall, Trevor has to have a bounce back year. Trevor has to have a year where we're looking at something like upwards of 30 touchdowns with single digit interceptions at maximum 10 interceptions. And then we're looking at upwards of almost 4,000 passing yards. We got to have that from him. But then even outside of that, making the right reads, doing the right things, like all that's what matters to them in Jacksonville, and they can fight y'all for second in the division. Both y'all, I think y'all in Indy Indian and Jacksonville could fight for second in that division. I think obviously Tennessee's the clear out as the four, but it's going to be between y'all and Indy. I don't think either one of y'all are going to beat Houston out for that first spot in the division. But, yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess.
I feel like this is a make or break for me in regards to Trevor, because I'm tired of hearing he's young, he's the golden boy. Like, I don't want to hear that. Like,
yeah.
I think he has some clear holes that I've been seeing. I've been on this train for about 5 years, and I just feel like people have to be honest about what Trevor is. I think for Travis, do you think the majority of his snaps are going to come on the offensive defensive end?
Man, I've been watching training camp videos, and at first they were playing him a lot on the offensive side of the ball. Then they started getting him on the defensive side of the ball, and he looked even crazier. But I said it from Jump Street, though. I think he's going to be a better defensive player than he is offensive player. I've been saying that from Jump Street. I think he'll make an impact on the offense because you're going to have to keep him in contention. If you don't, he's going to go crazy. But defensively-wise, he has elite corner skills. I mean, he has always been a corner. I mean, yeah, I think he's a corner that plays receiver. That's what I think he is. I think that defensively, I mean, he's going to get really sticky in coverage. So, I mean, he's going to probably guard your best receiver. As a two overall pick, yeah, he's guarding your best receiver from jump. So I think he'll have the opportunity, but I think he's going to thrive in it, bro. I really do. His ball skills and his coverage skills are really elite at a young age. And then offensively wise, you know, he gets some opportunities. Let's just say you come in on a third and seven. And you got Brian Thomas Jr. And on the opposite side, you got Travis that comes in. It's like, okay, pick your poison for real. Because, like, I'm a double Brian, but you literally can't single cover Travis because he's going to get open. So it's like, it's going to be really interesting to see how that's why I'm like, Trevor is going to be better because he's going to have that opportunity more, right? I think he's going to have some pieces to be like, oh, boom, okay, they're going to double Brian. I can either throw a seam to Travis or catch, what's the tight end name? I think they still got Buddy down there too at tight end. Yeah, Evan Ingram. So it's like, I mean, you have an opportunity, more opportunities to make some more things shape. So I think Travis helps open up things for everybody else on the offensive side of the ball. But primarily defensive-wise, yeah, he's going to be like that. I think.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I feel like because on offense as a wide receiver, you're kind of reliant on the quarterback play. Mm-hmm. I feel like defense, he gets to be himself a little bit more. And hopefully they allow him to roam and to follow. But, you know, I think what I'm looking for Travis is being able to still stand out, like, while playing on both sides. Because I'd rather him stand out on one side rather than being mid on both in the NFL. You know, you get what I'm saying?
Line facts. I'm with you 110%. That's why I said I think primarily defensively, he'll start there. Me personally. I think he'll start there and then come in and be wide receiver two.
Yeah. So, like, I want to end this talking about cornerbacks, like, since we're already on Travis. But give me your top five cornerbacks in the league currently headed into the
top five. And speaking of that, we're going to put this on TikTok, man, because I want to hear what y'all got to say, too. And we've been talking about this, and we'll get to that at the end of this. But top five for me, dang, that's tough, bro. Number one, let's go Pat Surtain. I just think he's elite corner, Pat Surtain. I mean, Sauce Gardner, he's up there. Marlon Humphrey. He showed me last year that he's still all pro Marlon when he really wants to be. I'm going to give Marlon three. I think he comes back and does it again this year. Dang, bro. This is tough. Some of the corners in the league. Like I said, bro, I mean, Jair's up there. Jair's up there, bro. I mean, he got to be up there. He's elite once again. And then let's go with – Who am I missing? Elite corners. Somebody gonna say, dang, I'm not on this list. But
you got Stingley, you got
Stingley. Give me Stingley. Give me Darius Stingley from Houston.
Yeah. Okay, that's a solid list. So one, I'm gonna go Surtain, PS2. Mm-hmm. Number two, I don't know if I'll put Sauce in it. Like, I would put Sauce. Give me Sauce. Two, three, I would go Stingley. Four, I gotta go look at Legarius Sneed's numbers because he was good in Kansas. I don't know if he was good in Tennessee last year.
Yeah, I didn't check his numbers either.
Yeah. Low key, that corner from Chicago had a good year. Jalen Johnson.
Oh, Jalen Johnson? Yeah, he's good. Top five, though. I don't know. That's what they're
doing. Five.
I'm trying to think, bro. Let's see. I'm trying to think, bro. Like, who am I missing anybody?
Low key, I could say like that corner from Kansas City. I think McDuffie.
Oh, Kim McDuffie.
Kim McDuffie.
Yeah, Kim McDuffie's really good too. I think I give him top 10.
I'll go Trent five. Trent, and then I'll put Marlo there too. Marlo made some key plays last year too. So, okay. Yeah. Cool. So, anything else you want to talk about going into this offseason?
Nah, man. Because I'm super excited, bro. Oh, we didn't talk about Ramsey. Ramsey's also in the trade block. He's out of Miami.
That's true.
Out of Miami. Now is he still top five with that list I just provided to you? No. But is he top 10? Heck yeah. Ramsey's still top 10. And he's out of Miami. They already said like he's getting about it. He's just trying to find a partner at this point.
Who's better, Jair or Jalen?
At this current moment, Jair.
Jair in the top five, right?
Yeah. At this current moment, Jair is better than Jalen Ramsey.
Okay.
But Jalen, like I said, he's still Jalen Ramsey. He's still good, but he's just not Jair right now. But like I said, both of them are coming off like injuries and stuff like that. So like, I'm still giving Jair the nod just because he's locked down. And I've seen Jalen, he came in locked down, but he hasn't necessarily stayed locked down throughout his career, unfortunately for him, in Miami more specifically. So
what do you think Jalen Ramsey ends up?
One of them going to Pittsburgh, bro. I'm gonna tell you right now. Either Ramsey or Jair going to Pittsburgh. They need a corner. I mean, they got what's his buddy name? Joey Porter Jr. But outside of him, I don't know who the other corner is. So yeah. One of them going to Pittsburgh. And I think, like I said, both of them I believe want to play for contenders. Jair's never won a Super Bowl, so I think he didn't want to play for a contender. Jalen Ramsey won a Super Bowl with the Rams. So he's more so in a situation of like, okay, I can go to a contender, but also just give me whoever's going to give me that bag for real at the end of my career. Because I think Jalen is going towards the end of his career versus Jair, who's 28. So,
yeah, for sure. That's all it, man. I think it's going to be an eventful season. We still got a lot you know, more in the offseason to go. You know, we even got to the Hard Knocks here in the offseason. So
yeah,
curious what is going to transpire in these next couple of weeks. We definitely will be back with more content. Not even just with the NFL, but with the NBA, WNBA. We have that content right at your front door as these events take place. So listen, this concludes another offseason episode. We appreciate y'all for tuning in for this long. We've gone through almost every NFL team, and we will be back as the updates go through. Y'all go ahead and comment, like, and subscribe. Put y'all's prediction in the comments as well. We'll be sure to get back with you and then call you bogus if you're bogus.
I promise. Right.
Yeah. You got anything else, John?
Nah, man. I appreciate y'all. Like, comment, like Colin said, man, like, comment, subscribe. Hey. Y'all see me on TikTok in the comments. Y'all comment on TikTok. I'll be right there responding. So when we drop these top five lists of these corners that we just talked about just now, we put it on TikTok. Go ahead. Let us know how you feel, because I promise you I'm going to respond. Guaranteed. Yeah. Appreciate y'all.
Absolutely. Got to stand on these opinions and predictions for sure. All right, man. So that concludes another episode, man. Continue to stay tuned for more content we got coming. Just like, subscribe right now. Go ahead and press that button. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for watching.